This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. The 1st Congressional District is made up of Lake, Porter, and Western LaPorte counties. There are two candidates that are vying for voter support in the November general election. Besides Democrat Frank Mervan, we have our next guest, Republican Mark Leyva. And Mark, thank you for joining us on Regionally Speaking today.
Well, I want to thank you for having me here, and it's a great opportunity to let a lot of listeners know who I am and what I'm about.
Well, tell us first about yourself, although it may be hard to believe because you've been a candidate for public office in the past, but tell us about yourself and what interested you in particular for running for Congress this time around.
Well, first of all, I'm a blue-collar worker. I'm a former 1010 steel worker. I'm a former Illinois local Carpenters 434 carpenter. Right now, I'm just self-employed carpenter by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing of why I'm running is because this country is, I think it's in perils right now, and that it's all about our grandkids and their future, and giving them the same opportunities that we as parents and grandparents have had in our lives.
I know we'll get into a particular the issues that are part of your campaign in just a little bit first, but let's talk a little bit here about the interest that you have and others have had in your campaign wanting to run for the seat that is being vacated by a longtime Congressman Pete Visklosky. What do the voters that support you and did so in the primary election have to say?
Well, for the most part, the turnout was there. And after the election was done, I mean, I was inundated by plenty of text messages, Facebook messages, and thanking me for being on the ballot and running for office again.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that people had mentioned to you during the campaign for the primary election, such as it was, and we'll get into what the fall may look like as far as campaigning is concerned shortly, but what did they tell you in the response that you got, I'm sure by mail? Did you have a chance to do much campaigning, so to speak, on social media during the months, the time that everybody was staying at home, or when they finally got out to make it to the polls in June?
Well, most of it was by social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to respond and do my best to respond to everything that came my way. And all I could tell you is after the election, the response has been even more, it's been out there even more, but the most part it's out there from both sides of the aisle right now.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say it, which is very good for me, to having people reach out to me, giving me their support, and letting me know that this is a very important election and encouraging me to work hard and win it this November.
Okay.
November 3rd.
Well, let's talk first here about some of the issues, the ones that you had talked to many people about personally, and you did in social media during the primary election campaign, but they need to remind themselves about for the November election coming up. Give us an idea about your stand on the issues that affect the great American families, as you call them.
Well, I think there's a lot at stake. I mean, we have people that need jobs right now. I mean, right now we got, because of COVID, we got to get the economy back on base. The country was working and moving at such a high rate and a good pace that benefited everybody, mostly low income and middle class. And we had the lowest unemployment rates for blacks, Hispanics, and women. So, you know, if we could get the economy opened up, back on track, that's going to work good. I mean, I think the biggest question we should be talking here is what do Democrats in Washington stand for? Okay, they stand for higher taxes. They stand for killing babies. They stand for defending the illegal aliens. I mean, there's a lot that we as taxpayers need to be working to improve everybody's life. And when the policies are done correct, like the tax cuts, the first set of tax cuts that got the economy moving, that benefits everybody. See, that's the difference. When you have good policies, there's no discrepancy of who benefits. Everybody benefits. But when you have Democratic policy, it's pretty much certain groups benefit. It's identity politics. But anytime there are good, solid policies, doesn't matter what president does it. They work 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that in the 60s, John F. Kennedy, a Democrat, cut taxes in half with tax cuts that stimulated the economy. And then now, today, Democrats say tax cuts are bad. And they just, they're manipulating the people.
On the issue of health care, I know you're concerned. Many of your friends and family members and potential constituents here in Northwest Indiana are in having problems, of course, financially because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But also, too, many of them I know have taken advantage of the Affordable Care Act. What are your thoughts about the ACA and also, too, about health care in general that you're campaigning on this November?
Oh, okay. The Affordable Care Act,
mm-hmm.
Which is considered Obamacare, and most people understand that because in most eyes, people, some half may be ACA, but most people believe in Obamacare. Obamacare was a terrible bill from the start. It was nothing about bigger, bloated government and making the youth pay all the bills for all the health care on the senior citizens, okay? So we need more of a free market. We need a lot of alternatives. And there's Wichita, Kansas, a Dr. Josh Umber, okay? He's been going around the United States teaching doctors how to set up their own plans for medical care, and only charges individuals, adults, $50 a month, and children, $10 a month. And he gives them all the benefits of prescriptions and whether they need MRIs or anything like that. He works on that, but also it's all about the private sector. And that's a huge difference between a Republican or a conservative in Washington, where the private sector does a better job 100% of the time at a lower cost than government does at a higher cost and more bad results because it's not their money.
We're talking with Mark Leva, who is the Republican Party candidate for the 1st District congressional seat that Congressman Pete Visclosky is leaving and retiring. And he is facing a Democrat challenger, Frank Mervan, on the ballots in November. Let's talk about criminal justice here. We know about, and you are very much aware about, the protests that have been happening across not only Northwest Indiana, but the country, about the concern of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And there have been calls, I know, to dismantle or to defund police departments because of the way that the policing has been handled. What are your thoughts on that? And in particular, how would you deal with trying to reform policing if there are problems that need to be addressed?
Well, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, Senator Scott has proposed a bill in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
okay, to work on these reforms. And who but Schumer filibustered and is not pushing forward on this bill. So in Washington right now, the Republicans are trying to push for some type of reform, but the Democrats are fighting them. So, but my, Mark Leyva, okay, my personal opinion is that, one, there are bad apples in every organization, and they should be brought to any charges or any damages that they do. Without policing, we're going to have chaos and anarchy. And I don't think anybody in their right minds want to defund or eliminate policing. I stand with Blue 100%. I think their hands are tied. And you have to remember that when decisions are made by police chiefs, they're usually made by the mayors that control the police chief because he's a non-elective official. And, you know, so when there are some bad decisions or there are areas or sections where bad policing is not being addressed, it's not being addressed because it's usually your mayors that are not addressing them because they control the police chief. And I just know that I believe there should be more training. There should be more hand-to-hand combat training. There should have a very high-qualified martial artist teaching them hand-to-hand combat. Even ground control. I mean, I spent a couple years with private lessons in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be there, and it's very important. And today, with all the craziness, I think the police have a whole lot to worry about in today's society, and they should be more trained. And if you're not giving them the training, what do you have left? A baton? A gun? A stun gun? And now they're saying stun guns are no good, batons are no good. What are they supposed to do? I mean, there are some alternatives, like pepper guns, I believe, pepper pellets.
Yeah.
Okay. But why aren't we giving the police officers the resources they need for today's challenges that they are confronting with?
I should mention now that you have a website. Obviously, you go to your website. You can see what is out there that Mark is referring to in more detail. And if you have questions, of course, you can always reach him on email and through the website as well. You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Mark, that you were able to do a lot of close discussion with individual members of the public by way of social media. If we are going into the November general election with some of the same problems, that is that we may have to rely more on vote by mail because of the pandemic if it lingers on, what are your hopes or thoughts and maybe a little strategy that you're going to have to be able to get out there and campaign for the November election?
Well, I could tell you this, social media right now is a big thing where people are approaching me constantly every day, and I'm returning answers to their questions and doing all that I can do to let them know who and what I stand for. I don't think that mailing by vote is any big deal.
Mm.
I think that if we could allow restaurants to open, we could allow businesses to open safely. There's no reason why voting could be done safely. I mean, we've done it in the primary. We could do it in the general election. This whole idea of just massive mailing by mail is not a good thing. It's just a high case for a lot of fraud.
Well, Mark, we'll leave it at that, but we'll have you back on to talk closer to the November general election about the issues and then how your campaign is doing as well. And we thank you for spending time with us here on Lakeshore Public Radio to talk about the issues today.
Well, thank you very much, and I just want to thank everybody listening. And just be informed and vote for the candidate that you feel is right.
Mark Leyva is the Republican Party nominee for the seat in the 1st District Congress here in Northwest Indiana. That is being set aside by Congressman Pete Fiskoski. You're listening to Originally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. By the way, we've reached out to Frank Mervan's campaign staff for an interview with him, and we hope to be able to speak with him soon. This is Originally Speaking. The Lake County Plan Commission is going to hold a public hearing on July 15th to talk about an amended ordinance that, if it's passed, approved, put into county law, would require public hearings for such things as solar panel farm projects. Bill Emerson, who is the county surveyor, is the chairman of the Lake County Plan Commission, and he is with us to talk about the project and about the idea in general. And, Bill, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
First, if you will, tell us a little bit about this particular project that is sparking the idea of wanting to make the changes in the ordinance that what the public hearing coming up on July 15th is all about.
Well, it's actually the hearing coming up on the 15th is for an ordinance that's going to that would apply to any development. Right now, our only way that our ordinance, our zoning ordinance, addresses solar. Anything solar is for like personal use for houses and things like that. So yeah. We kind of realized that we needed to update it to make it make so that there's a way for some of these larger scale developments to be done in the county. That there's a way that the public can be notified of it when those things want to come here.
Is it more like an individual homeowner wants to put up panels on the roof or whatever, and you have to get a special exception to be able to do that?
That's what we have now.
Yeah.
It really just addresses that. But this ordinance would address the larger scale solar fields that are proposed in many areas of the country.
Mm-hmm. I know there is one company in particular out of Chicago, Inver Energy, is interested in setting something up here in Lake County. Can you tell us what you know about this project and why this seems to have caught a lot of attention these days?
Yeah, so I think they're definitely interested, I think, in coming to the area. And like I said, right now, there's no real procedure for it that is really detailed enough for our liking. Like, so there are certain things that in this proposed ordinance that I think are really good as far as making sure that there's a plan to decommission these fields when they reach the end of their life, things like making sure that the glare from the solar panels doesn't affect anyone or any traffic or anything like that. Drainage issues and kind of visual screening around the property, things like that, that are addressed in this ordinance that we want to make sure were in place.
Now, did the company come forth before the Plan Commission at least talk about this? And I'm sure they've at least talked with the Plan Commission staff, like Ned Kovacevic, who's the director of the Plan Commission, about what they want to do. Did they, just, I guess, have such an ambitious plan that we realized maybe we ought to step back and take a better look at all of these?
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know that they're the only company that will be doing that, but it's something that's happening more and more kind of across the area and the country, and that we want to make sure we had the ordinance in place to handle it, I guess.
I understand that the county commissioners had asked a consultancy team to come in and take a better look at this. What have they mentioned that you're aware of that they brought up before the Plan Commission about the concept of doing some changes in the rules to allow the solar panel farms to be placed?
Well, and that's a good point. So we are in the middle of kind of redrafting our zoning ordinance for Lake County, which would apply to the unincorporated areas. And so it's kind of actually good timing in a way, because with kind of all these talks coming, and it was something we were going to address anyway in our draft. So this is a way that we can kind of use some of the work that we've done, the redraft of the zoning ordinance, and get it in place right now.
Now, Bill, tell us what this July 15th meeting is going to be all about. How is it structured? What can the public do? And especially now, because we still are dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, how is it going to be conducted?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, so it's the 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the government center. We'll be social distancing and limiting the amount of people that can be in the room at one time. So if there are more people that show up that want to speak, we'll have to rotate people out to stay safe. And everyone has to wear masks in the government center and socially distance themselves. But we had one meeting live last month. It went really well, and people were very respectful and made sure that they were careful. So
that's good.
We expect that to happen again.
That's good. Now, once you have this July 15th public hearing to take a look at the ordinance, what is going to be the procedure after that that you know that has to be set up before the Plan Commission?
Yes, then it will go to the Board of Zoning Appeals for their review, and then to the council. Where the council can pass it or amend it or do what they see fit to do.
You mentioned that we only know right now of one company that is really interested in doing this type of work for a solar farm project, and there may be more ahead. Is there, I guess, some idea, and obviously, but since this is an opportunity to make the changes in the zoning codes to be able to allow for more, are there any other options that maybe are out there with clean energy in mind that may possibly be coming up in some form or another someday before the Plan Commission?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm personally open to any clean energy options for Lake County. I think people realize Lake County is a great place to be and a great place to invest. So hopefully we do have more investment like that. The big thing for me, and I think for my colleagues on the Plan Commission, is to make sure that the public has a lot of input moving forward with any projects. So I think this proposed ordinance is a good way to do that.
Bill Everson is county surveyor here in Lake County, and he is also the chairman of the Lake County Plan Commission. And they will be holding a public hearing on July 15th at the county center in Crown Point to talk about an amended ordinance that would have to be reviewed eventually by the county council that would require public hearings for such things as solar panel farm projects. There is one company that wants to do so here in Lake County, and they want to be sure that the zoning ordinances are allowable to let them do that. City of Valparaiso is recovering from the impact of the coronavirus pandemic with what the mayor says is the combined help of everyone. Matt Murphy was with us to talk about the reopening of businesses and the reimagining of events, like this year's 4th of July celebrations, to be able to fit the rules of social distancing.
Well, the community just stepped up tremendously. They, as sort of expected here in Valparaiso, we've also been blessed to not have huge numbers of infected residents, and our Porter Hospital and St. Mary's have just done a great job of keeping us informed, and also our Porter County Health Department and the county, they do a great job of communicating every single day the numbers, and so we're monitoring that every day so that if we need to tweak some of our policies, we can. Also, Governor Holcomb was doing a press conference Monday through Friday. He's now backed off to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but we're getting great communication from both the state and the county to make decisions that we need to make to keep our residents safe, and so that's helped tremendously as well.
Well, that's good to hear. Speaking of how things are happening in the community of Valparaiso and as dealing with the pandemic, we know it's had to make some changes in what you wanted to do, but it looks like that 4th of July is going to happen as scheduled in Valparaiso. A little different arrangements. Tell us about how everything is arranged and how Family Express is partnering with the city to make it all happen.
Yeah, we really appreciate the partnership with Family Express. We felt they were an ideal partner for this community event. They very supportive, community-minded company, and they've been also providing a lot of leadership and hygiene and safety throughout the pandemic. So we're pleased to have their support, and I think it's going to be a great event. And so the whole, you know, we waited as long as we could. We weren't sure what the summer events were going to look like. The state hadn't put out a lot of guidance, but when Governor Holcomb put forth the Indiana Back on Track plan, and on July 4th, the state opened up the amount of people that could gather. We felt that a modified series of events would be great to kick off our freedom from hopefully not going back to where we were in terms of a pandemic. So we modified the event in a couple of ways. Number one, We made it a ticketed event for Valparaiso residents only inside the Urschel Field viewing area. Now, you got to keep in mind, there's, you know, if you're not in the Urschel Field viewing area, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy the fireworks.
Yeah.
So if you don't get a ticket, one of the tickets, you know, you can still try to find a spot in a in an area nearby and enjoy a beautiful, tremendous fireworks show that we're very proud of. So we had an engineering firm actually crunch the numbers to see how many folks we could safely fit in that Urschel Field viewing area, keeping in mind social distancing, and that number is what we based our ticket number on. Mm-hmm. So those tickets will be available to Valparaiso residents. You have to be our city resident for free to city residents. With a maximum ticket, six per city household,
mm-hmm.
And so that's how we kind of modified that. We didn't want to have to do that, but we felt that would be the prudent measure this year. Also, Chris, as you know, a lot of surrounding communities decided to cancel 4th of July, so we kind of feel like we might get some folks from other parts of Northwest Indiana to come to Valpo that day. So we really wanted to just take an extra precaution to make sure we weren't overwhelmed there in the Urschel viewing area. So that's one major modification to our 4th of July event.
Now, we separate now the fireworks and the concert are in two different locations for good reasons. And is it going to seem to work out to have the fireworks there at Urschel Field and then have the concert downtown there at Central Park Plaza?
Yeah, we wanted to spread it out. So we start early in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. We've got a 4th of July blast, 5K and a 2K run walk with a staggered start to allow for social distancing. So that's going to be at 7:30. Then at 10 a.m., we're going to have our first ever Lift Up Valpo parade downtown, mm-hmm. which is going to include Valpo businesses, first responders, and others. The parade will be all vehicles and contactless, similar to the recent very successful Valparaiso High School graduation parade. That route will begin at Valparaiso High School, heading south on Campbell, east on Lincoln Way, and ending at Morgan. During that time, from 8 to 1, we'll have the Valparaiso Market, which features local farmers and artisans, and they're located at the William E. Urschel Pavilion at Central Park Plaza. Then, at 8:30 in the evening, a free concert. Tickets are required, again, because we've got to limit the amount of folks we can gather in the park there.
Right.
I think it's 600. You don't have to be a Valparaiso resident to get a ticket. Those tickets are available at valparaisoevents.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. That'll be featuring the Craw Puppies at the Porter Health Amphitheater from 8:30 to 10. And then at 9 o'clock on the north side of town at Urschel Field, as discussed, we kick off our traditional fireworks hosted by Valparaiso Parks with the partnership of Family Express.
More information about the weekend's holiday events can be found on the Valpo Events website. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us today. We have a race and justice conversation for you tomorrow. Hope you'll join us for that.